Well, we're starting a new series today, thinking about why the incarnation matters. We're going to look at a few different themes, a few different passages over the next few weeks, thinking about why Jesus coming and becoming a man matters, what difference it makes to us. And to begin with today, I want you to just imagine the kind of typical nativity scene that you think of when we remember Jesus being born. It's not hard to think of, is it? Lots of the Christmas cards that we have today will often reflect the nativity scene, maybe not always in the most accurate way. But I want you to ask yourself the question, why does that scene matter? Why does that reality matter? Why celebrate this? Why celebrate the fact that Jesus came as a man, not just that he came to die, but that he came in the first place, that he came, that he was born and that he lived amongst us. It's right as Christians that we focus on the cross of Jesus, isn't it? That we celebrate all of Jesus' achievements, the great plan of salvation of God that finds its focus at the cross. We know why we remember the cross. We're very good at explaining why the cross is so important. But I think we're not always so good at being able to remember why and explain and celebrate why it matters so much that Jesus came in the first place, why the incarnation matters. Why can't we, why don't we just fast forward from the moment of Jesus' birth to the cross and focus on the bit that really matters? Well, we're going to see over the next few weeks that we can't do that because the incarnation itself is of huge significance, huge importance to us as Christians. It has huge implications for our life, for our faith, for our knowledge of God, for our hope. We're going to see that the incarnation isn't just a trivial or quaint beginning, something made so that it fits perfectly onto Christmas cards, but instead that the incarnation, Jesus becoming a man, taking on flesh, is essential for knowing God and having life in him. We're going to see that today by focusing on two particular passages. The first is John chapter 1, and then a few verses from Hebrews as well. So turn with me to John chapter 1. It's not on the screen, so just use your own Bibles. John chapter 1, let me read verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. He came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. And then just turn on to Hebrews chapter 1, verses we've been looking at over the last week or so in the fixated book. Hebrews chapter 1, and let me read verses 1 to 3. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. We'll be thinking about those passages as we carry on through. I wonder if you've noticed how many events are now put on called an evening with. An evening with events seem to have got quite popular, don't they, in recent years. One of the guys that I bowl with on a Sunday evening said, I think about a month ago, he'd gone to Leicester and he had an evening with Tim Peake. He said it was wonderful, all sorts of things that he was telling the audience about his life. It was really interesting finding out about how he grew up, his kind of childhood, how he developed, what his interests were, and then obviously all about the space training and going into space. An evening with whoever it might be has great appeal, it seems, in today's society. It's an opportunity to get to know someone that perhaps you've always admired, someone you've had an interest in from afar. There's something intriguing, isn't there, about knowing some of these people a bit better that you've only seen on the television or perhaps read about in newspapers. The only trouble is, though, you still only get one perspective when you hear them, don't you? You get to hear what they're saying. You want to know what they're really like, but you still don't actually get to know them personally. You're still kept at a distance. There's only so much that you can fit into a two-hour meeting describing your life, isn't there? And also, there'll only be selected things that are revealed. Once the spotlight is in, that famous person can still hold things back. It's not a full disclosure of who someone is. But did you notice how different it is now that Jesus has come? Did you see the wonder of what the incarnation reveals from these verses? The verses show us that because Jesus came, because of the incarnation, we can now know God fully. That's the big thing we're going to be celebrating today. The incarnation matters because it makes God known in a way we haven't been able to have previously. It makes God known, not just in a kind of an evening with sort of way, a limited or selected way of making God known. Instead, Jesus coming as a man makes God known fully. Just have a look at those verses from Hebrews again. Hebrews 1 verse 3, the start of that. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. God's glory, the exact representation of his being. Do you remember in the fixated book, Tim Chester described it as being like one of those presses that made the coins, the die cast that's pressed down onto the metal, and there's an exact representation of the coin imprinted, or of the die imprinted onto the coin. That's what we have here, isn't it? Jesus is the exact copy, the exact imprint of the Father. Or did you see how it's put in John chapter 1? Have a look at verse 18 again. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. That's a huge difference, a significant difference to what happened in the past, isn't it? Just think back through the Old Testament. Whenever God made himself known to his people, there was always something hidden, something that wasn't fully revealed. Remember, for instance, when God appeared to Moses. Moses wanted to see God's glory, and the best he could do was to stand in the cleft of a rock while God passed by, putting his hand over Moses, so that all Moses could see was God's back. Do you see how things have changed now Jesus has come? Limited revelation then, full revelation now. It all helps us to see that Jesus is the ultimate revealer of God. Jesus is the ultimate revealer of God. But what is it about Jesus that makes him suitable, able to reveal God in this new kind of way so fully? Why can Jesus be this ultimate revealer of God? Well, there's three things I want us to see today through the passages. Three reasons why Jesus is this great, this ultimate revealer of God. And here's the first thing. Jesus is the ultimate revealer of God because he's always been with the Father. He's always been with the Father. Have a look at John chapter 1 again and verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. What do you think the big point John's trying to make in those first couple of verses is? He's saying that Jesus was with God and was God. And he uses a very significant word to describe Jesus, doesn't he? He says Jesus is the Word. Words are essential, aren't they, for making things known? Without words, we couldn't communicate. Life would be impossible, really. Do you remember how God made things back in Genesis? And God said, and it was so. Words bring life into existence. And now Jesus is given that title of being God's Word. The way God is now speaking to his people is through Jesus, the Word, bringing light and life, creating and sustaining the world. Jesus is the Word, and he's been there from the beginning. He's been with God from the beginning, and he is God. And why is that so important to know? Well, because it's only when you've been with someone for the whole time that you can really make them known properly. Only someone who has been with God the whole time can fully make him known. Just think back to our evening with example. Tim Peake, I'm sure that would have been a great evening. A good 2 hours to enjoy listening to Tim Peake describe all these different things about his life. But it was still a really limited knowing of who that person was. To really know Tim Peake, you need to be with him. You need to live with him. You need to have been there for the whole time. To know everything about Tim Peake, you need to have been there right from the start. Here's another example. I know Chris pretty well. We've worked together over the last 8 years. We knew each other for a couple of years before that. We know how each other works. We know each other's desires. What we prefer. Occasionally, I'm asked to write references for Chris to prove what Chris is like. But as much as I know him, I don't know everything about him. I can't describe all his thoughts and all his desires and plans. I don't really know that much about his life 10, 15, 20 years ago. I can't say with absolute certainty, with absolute insight, exactly what Chris is like. But with Jesus, there's no limitations like that, are there? Jesus has been with God the Father forever. There's never been a time where the Son and the Father have been introduced to each other. They've always been together. The Father and the Son have always existed alongside the Spirit in the divine union of the Trinity. Verse 18 tells us that Jesus is in the closest relationship with the Father. And he is God as well. That's what verse 1 tells us. So we can rely on Jesus' revelation of the Father fully. As God, his revelation of the Father isn't corrupted. There's no untruths in there. There's no tainted exaggeration. Because Jesus was with God and is God, we can know God fully. Know God fully in a way that previously wasn't possible. Jesus is the ultimate revealer of God because he's always been with God. He's always been with the Father. But there's more that makes Jesus this ultimate revealer of God as well in our verses. And here's the second thing. Jesus is the ultimate revealer of God because he came full of grace and truth. He's the ultimate revealer of God because he came full of grace and truth. Today, I've come onto Zoom with the purpose of preaching. I'm carrying out that purpose right now. But did you see why Jesus came, why Jesus was sent? Have a look at John chapter 1, verse 14 again. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He came from the Father. He was sent from the Father, full of grace and truth, to make God's grace and truth known. That's another way of Jesus revealing God to us, isn't it? Revealing God in a fuller, previously unseen way, making the fullness of God's grace and truth known. Page after page of the Old Testament recounts God's acts of grace, doesn't it? Records his truth. Just think of some of them. Harris, can you stop that, please? Just think of some of those examples of the grace and the truth that we see from God through the Old Testament. The grace that God showed in giving garments of skin to Adam and Eve after they had sinned. The great promises of blessing that he gives to Abraham and his descendants. Exodus, rescuing his people from slavery in Egypt, declaring, I will be your God and you will be my people. I will never leave you or forsake you. Providing a kinsman redeemer for the poverty-stricken Naomi and Ruth. A land of peace and security in David's reign. Declaring the truth. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. There's countless more examples we could think of, aren't there, of God's grace and God's truth through the Old Testament. But they're all pointing to the fullness of grace, to the fullness of truth that we now see revealed in Jesus. This is what Tim Chester wrote in the book. I think one of the ones we read last week. In the Old Testament, God's promises were embodied in a whole variety of ways. No one person or symbol could do the job of capturing the full reality of God's promise. No person or symbol on their own could encapsulate the fullness of God's purposes. But now, all the stories of the Old Testament have converged into a single moment, and that moment is the first Christmas day. The work of Jesus is so rich, deep, and all-encompassing that it needed all those pictures to prepare for it. But Christ comes to complete and fulfill them all. With Jesus, the fullness of God's grace and truth is revealed. I wonder if you've noticed recently, if you place an order on Amazon, maybe for multiple items, you often get those deliveries in multiple different slots, don't you? You perhaps receive one package of three and then the next arrive over the next few few days. That's not the case. Now, Jesus has come not in terms of Amazon deliveries, but in terms of how God reveals himself. We don't just have a partial revelation of God's grace and truth anymore. We've got it fully. We're not left wanting or needing anything more. Jesus made the fullness of God known, the fullness of his grace and truth. And it culminates at the cross, that Jesus' death for our salvation, his resurrection for our life. That's why Jesus is the greatest, the ultimate revealer of God. He's the ultimate revealer of God because he came full of grace and truth. Now, all those hints, all those promises of God's grace and truth through the Old Testament, they were just glimpses. Now we see it fully and gloriously revealed in Jesus. I wonder if you've recognized the privilege of that. Moses was only allowed to see the back of God, this shadowy, dark image of who God was. Now we see Jesus sent from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now we see the magnificent extent of God's glory in the person of Jesus. Just listen to how that's described in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Jesus is the ultimate revealer of God. We see the full glory of God, his grace and his truth in the person of Jesus. That's, again, the reason why the incarnation matters. Jesus reveals God to us, all his fullness of grace and truth. But here's the third. Jesus is the ultimate revealer of God because after him, no more words are needed. He's the ultimate revealer of God because after him, no more words are needed. Just turn to that passage in Hebrews again. Just have a look at what we read in verses 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. We saw those contrasts, didn't we, in those verses as we looked at the fixated book. In the past, God spoke, but now, in these last days, he speaks to us through his Son. He spoke to the ancestors in the past, now he speaks to us. He spoke in various ways in the past, now he speaks to us through his Son, Jesus. The Son, Jesus, is the final, decisive way that God speaks to us. The final decisive way so that nothing else is needed. And that's good and comforting news, isn't it? It's comforting because it shows us that Jesus is the only word we now need to listen to. There's no more revelation to come. It shows us that the gospel, the message that Jesus makes known, isn't like what we're often used to in the world today, where we can't be sure if the revelation is finished. I wonder what films you can think of with the most sequels, or the box set series with the most series that just keep going on and on. Do you know what the problem is with sequels, with ongoing series, with relentless more series being added to the box sets? Well, there's continual twists and turns, aren't there? New problems emerging, things never seem final. There's never a satisfying resolution reached. We're always left hanging on, needing to know more. That's a complete contrast to the situation. Now Jesus has come, isn't it? Nothing more is needed because Jesus is God's final word to his world. Why? Well, this is how Chester puts it. Jesus is God's final word to his world because The Son is not simply the messenger, he's the message. God's word to us is Jesus himself. And that means we don't need any more. Nothing further needs to be added. There's no further or greater insight that we need. That wasn't the case previously, was it? People were longing previously for the Saviour, for the Messiah to come. Do you remember back in 1 Peter chapter 1, we saw a prophet searching intently for the Messiah to come. We've heard the joy of the angels as they announced the Saviour's birth. Why? Because now Jesus has come, the last word has been spoken. There's no more details to add. There's now nothing left unresolved. There's not anything that still needs to be made known. If we know Jesus, we know the fullest knowledge of God. We have the fullest experience of knowing God. We have the fullest experience. We have the fullest manifestation of God's grace and truth. The entire revelation of God's plan of salvation. Jesus is the ultimate revealer of God, because after him, no more words are needed. No more words are needed. So do you see now why the incarnation matters so much? Why we can't dispense with the fact that Jesus came, he came and took on flesh and lived as a man, lived amongst us. Can you see now why it's right that we celebrate that scene? Jesus being born, God becoming man. You see why we can't just fast forward to the cross and ignore the fact that Jesus came and lived as a human. We need Jesus to come to us. God, the Word, taking on flesh to make the Father known. And we need Jesus to do that, because he's the only one who can fully and truly and ultimately reveal God to us. He's the ultimate revealer of God because he's always been with the Father. He's the ultimate revealer of God because he came with all the fullness of God's grace and truth. And he's the ultimate revealer of God because after him, no more words are needed. If that's true, just think for the last few moments about some of the implications that brings to us. I think what freedom and confidence and joy this will bring if we truly believe that Jesus is this ultimate revealer of God. First of all, it means we can truly delight in celebrating the incarnation this Christmas time, doesn't it? Christmas is the time where we notice lots of lights around us, lights that shine out in the darkness. Well, the greatest thing to celebrate at Christmas time is Jesus's shining light, bringing to light who God is. Christmas can be a celebration of God making himself known. We don't have to wonder anymore. We're not left in the darkness about who God is anymore. So amongst all the other celebrations and things that will happen, will there be true joy this Christmas by celebrating this greatest by far act of God making himself known in Jesus? Of course, for some, Christmas won't be a happy time. There'll be problems and pain that are still having to be dealt with. Christmas time doesn't dispense with those things, does it? Yet, knowing Christ, knowing God become man, is what will continue to bring joy and comfort, even in our difficult situations. When we're wanting to know comfort from God in our hardships this Christmas, we need to look to Jesus. Jesus, the one who declared, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Want to know comfort from God? Look to Jesus, who is gentle and lowly. When we want to know God's power to finally thwart everything that threatens, everything that damages and destroys and causes us pain. We can now look to Jesus, see his power over sickness and evil and creation, even death. Jesus reveals God's power against everything that threatens. And when we want to know that God is with us and for us, when you feel weak or alone or vulnerable living through the trials of this world, look to Jesus. God, who became man and so is able to sympathize with you in your weaknesses. Jesus, the one who said, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Where we want to know God's power, God's comfort, God's help, God's presence with us, look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on him, because he is the ultimate revealer of God. Let's rejoice that God has made himself fully known, finally known, in the person of Jesus. Let's celebrate the incarnation, because Jesus makes God known. Let me pray, and then we'll sing some songs in response to that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus coming. Jesus, thank you that you humbled yourself and came down to earth. You took on the nature of a servant. You took on flesh, and you fully revealed God to us. Thank you that in Jesus, we can know you fully, because Jesus has always been with you, Father, right from the beginning, and Jesus is God himself. Thank you that we can know you fully, because Jesus makes known all the fullness of your grace and truth. And thank you that we can be confident that we can know you fully, because after Jesus, no more words are needed. Thank you that we have the full and complete revelation and knowledge of you, because Jesus came and took on flesh. We praise you and thank you for your kindness to us in sending Jesus, full of grace and truth, to make you known to us. Thank you for all that. Amen.